Welcome to The Pen That Writes, a podcast where we talk to authors about their lives beyond the books and stories that their environment wrote for them. My name is Ayan, and I am your host for this series, where we will be in conversation with your favorite authors and ask questions that explore entirely different and new themes. Today, I'm in conversation with the author of Table for One, a brilliant travel book which gives you a warm hug every now and then and restores your faith in human relationships. She completed her CA and MBA, works in finance by day and is a storyteller by night, with her picture-perfect descriptions of places across the globe. The very sweet and the very nerdy, Neha Bindal. Hello, Neha. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. How is the weather there in Delhi?
Yeah, it's very, very hot. You'd already seen it in the news.
Yes.
And yeah, not very likable at this time. That's about Delhi. And I think most of the people are anyway heading to the mountains right now.
That's great. So since this is a podcast about, literature and and this is the first question that I have to ask. And the first question has to be very important, right? So my first question is, what is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Plain simple vanilla, I would say.
Wow. Does the whole author community just like vanilla? I've talked to two authors.
Yeah, I think we are boring people in general.
Everyone's like vanilla.
You know,
vanilla.
My second favorite flavor is like sitafal flavor. Who likes sitafal?
No, I actually like sitafal. Sitafal is nice. But only the one that we get in naturals. That is the only good one. But vanilla is a good flavor still, because you know you get to play with it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, no complication. Life is already very complicated.
Exactly. I agree. but the weird part is every author likes it. That's the strange part.
I wasn't aware of. Yes. Now I'll probably change it then. Just to stand out.
Okay, coming to my second question. The ICAI does not mess around when it comes to education. And I was told that you were kind of nerd in school. And I have to ask, what was the whole path of chartered accountancy like? Because I'm only asking this because I'm an ex-CA aspirant. Well, not I wasn't a CA aspirant. My parents were a CA aspirant on behalf of me. So I left midway. But you completed it, and I want to know how that went. How what was that decision? How was that journey like?
So the decision stemmed from the fact that I scored 100 on 100 in accountancy in my 12th board.
Wow.
So that's where the discussion started. जैसे एक होता है ना कि accounts पे 100 आए तो हमारी बेटी CA बनेगी.
हाँ, obviously.
So it started off from there, and at that time it was so I did my graduation. I'm a 2009 batch, and at that time it was really cool to be doing two courses at the same time.
Right.
So I was already pursuing my BCom honors. The second best option was of course to go for an MBA after that. And the third option for commerce people, for somebody who was pursuing BCom honors, was to, of course, go for CA. So MBA, my parents were very clear that we won't let you, you know, move out to Delhi on your own for studies. So you better focus on CA.
Wow.
So it was a very, very random decision from the fact that I was good in accounts, and my parents were not very keen to send me out from Delhi. So that's how the CA happened. So, yeah. And I was nerdy. I enjoyed studying because I used to be like quite introvertish while I was growing up.
Huh.
And CA, you don't have to go to college. You don't have to talk much to people. So it was the perfect place to be. Ki padho apna and clear karo exam and you're done.
Yeah. And you did pass it at a very young age. You passed the finals at the age of 21.
21, yeah.
Which is, yeah. I am almost 20. Next year I'll be 21. I'm wondering how do you manage that? Full overachiever, front bencher life. Yeah.
The... front benches. Yeah, I mean, I was like that. I don't know. It was not forced on me. I mean, you know, I come from a family where nobody studies at all.
Achha.
So we are like 11 cousins and nobody studies. I was the first person who went to regular college, and I come from that family background where, you know, if there are winters, your parents would tell you that, you know, so jao sardi ho rahi hai, school jaake kya karoge.
Oh wow. Dream parents so of every child.
Quite an exception, yeah.
See,
I think I also looked at studies as an escape to, you know, get my independence. I think that was another angle,
right,
which motivated me to study really hard because I wanted to be independent so that, you know, I could have my own life.
That's great. And if I'm not wrong, you're still practicing, right? You're still a practicing CA.
I work for a company.
Right.
So I have gotten into strategy now because I did my MBA later on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I'm still working. I work for a company in their strategy team, sales strategy.
Right.
So, yeah.
A while back, around in 2015, if I'm not wrong, you got a bit wary of the corporate life and it led you to the whole author part. And so I have to ask, is, was the author always inside you, or was it born out of the monotony of the 9 to 5?
So I think while I was growing up, na, people used to tell me that, you know, I speak in a very storytelling way. So, you know, when I used to talk to people, they used to listen to me and they used to tell me that, you know, I talk like those dadis and nannies who would always tell you stories.
Right, right.
So that was one feedback I used to get while I was growing up. But again, the focus as far as my life was concerned was always studies. It was not to, you know, look at anything else but studies. So I never really paid attention to that skill. And later on, when I got into college, I started, you know, reading books. And at that time, I used to have this, you know, fantasy that I'll probably write someday. But I never thought that, you know, that could actually be turned into a reality.
Right.
So that part never crossed my mind. So I think I used to really enjoy writing corporate emails or corporate, you know, communications, etc.
Right.
But it was never from a professional angle or from the angle that I could really write blogs or write books.
Huh.
So yeah, but after I think 4 years into the corporate world, at that time, I at a very young age, I think at the age of 25 itself, I got into this whole, you know, questioning midlife crisis mode, that what am I doing, what I'm running after, because, you know, my life has been such that I scored good marks in 12th, then 4 years of sheer hard work to do CA, and then corporate hard work, and I got into that, you know, competition. So most of the people, they complete their studies by the age of 25, and I was already a manager, and it was cutthroat competition, which obviously got into my head. And I just one day I got pissed with something and I put my resignation.
Wow.
That I'm leaving in 20 days time. And it was an impulsive decision, but I think one of the best decisions of my life so far, because it helped me understand a lot of things about myself as well. And then, of course, when I quit my job, it was a hard decision. The after effects of it, because when I put my papers, I did not even discuss it with my family or anybody. And then I think I remember I told them that I've quit my job on my last day, when I was after I had already completed my notice period.
Notice
it was
period,
my last day at work. Yeah. And I came back home and I told them that, you know, today was my last day. They were shocked. And they actually felt ki mujhe nikal diya hai aur main bol rahi hu ki maine choda hai. Uske baad fir I started writing blogs on LinkedIn. Then of course I started my short story blog and it took off, and there was no turning back from there.
Of course, of course. And you did, you know, I remember you mentioning somewhere that you would write every day, even if you, you know, weren't in the mood of writing or something, you would force yourself to write every day, which I really
Yeah.
Because during writer's block, often people just, you know, leave the entire work rest. And but, you know, I see that, you know, front bencher wala vibe here. Ki nahi bhi ho raha hai, toh bhi karo. So, yeah, that I understand.
And I think I enjoyed it so much because I'll tell you that one big decision of my life,
right,
to quit my job without caring about, you know, the family or the society, it gave me a lot of courage to be able to, you know, decide things for myself, to be able to take a stand about what I want for myself in my life. So I think there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot going on inside of me that I could not express before I took that decision. And of course, when I took that decision, it gave me a lot of courage. And I was introvert. So, you know, writing in a way, it was like talking to a friend for me. So I think all that put together, the writing, writer block, if I have to describe, I think currently I'm in the phase of writer's block. And I'm not as disciplined as I should be. Or what I used to say earlier, I'm not practicing what I preach, what I was preaching at that time. But yeah. But at that time, it used to be a lot of fun, and I did not go through a writer's block. I used to look forward to writing. I used to get up at 4 a.m. sometimes just to write. And yeah, it was, and it was not forced. That was the beauty of it. It was all very organic.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Like it clearly shows how connected you are to your writing and your style and everything. That's really lovely to see. Now your book Table for One, it resonates with your own life, where you also went to solo traveling in Europe, if I'm not wrong, and the story itself is derived, exact, from your personal accounts. Is that am I right to assume that?
I think probably 30% of it could be true, but I always say this in all my interviews that my life has been really boring, so it's not worth turning into a book. So, you know, the book has to be like really interesting and aspirational. That's my personal take. So I wish it was my life story, but my life has not been that interesting.
Would you say that Tara did everything, you know, you wish certain realities could have been, aisa kuch?
Yeah. You know, I am an avid traveler, so I travel a lot. And I sometimes feel that, you know, traveling is sort of an over-glorified thing. Because, it is a little over-glorified in these days. Because I think when I see a picture of a place which I want to go, then I look at the picture and I think that, yeah, reality would be this picture minus 50-60%.
Achha.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice, but I'm just saying that it is a little, we try to oversell it. It's right, a good medium, you go out and everything.
I must say the imagery of each and every place is amazing. And even for Switzerland, your book helped me unlock some childhood memories I didn't even knew I had. And, you know, I have to ask, how do you manage to capture that image into words so accurately that I dare say ki it's as good as, if not better than, a literal photograph?
I think that's how I write things. So so my writing process is that, let's say I have to describe, I have to write about a trek.
Right.
So I first think of it in my head, then I imagine the whole scene of it, and then I write. So that is the process that I follow, and that's my style. Even I think in the short stories that I've written, most of the people say that they can actually imagine the whole story in their head while reading it.
Yeah.
So I think that's my style of writing.
Yes, it's very vivid, I must say. It's really lovely to read because it's just so feel good. Talking about Switzerland, we have to talk about the references of DDLJ that you made. So I have to ask, were you hoping for a Raj to sweep you off your feet at some point of time?
Oh... Again, you know, I may spoil your question. I used to be a sucker for, you know, romantic movies while I was growing up.
Yes.
But I don't know, I just stopped liking them later on. So I think I enjoyed DDLJ at some point in time. But later on, when I look back, you know, that Raj, he's not a very likable character. He's quite annoying.
Yes.
So I would so I would have preferred meeting somebody a little more mature than Raj, not somebody, you know, who would just be so loud. And if you look at DDLs, you know, Raj and Simran, they never had a real conversation throughout the movie. It was all, and I don't know how that goes in real
Yes.
life.
Would you be happy if the Shahrukh Khan actually if the Raj actually turned out to be SRK? That would be fine, right? Then you would be ठीक है. Raj नहीं तो SRK.
हाँ, SRK is nice. मतलब SRK को कौन बना करेगा?
वही. That's great. So, are there any friends who are, you know, maybe DDLJ fans who may have inspired characters in the book?
So I have a friend, she loves DDLJ and she loves Shahrukh Khan. Yeah, so my character's friend who's there in the book, no, not
Yes.
friend, sister, her sister is inspired from my friend.
Right. Okay. And
But
talking
this
about.
whole, so when I started writing about Taranu, there were multiple people in my head who led to that character.
Okay.
So this whole, of course, the liking towards the romantic movies, and then I think the character was two-dimensional, that she was trying to be practical, but she was also romantic, and she was trying to not be impulsive, but she was impulsive. Yeah, so there was a lot of conflict there.
Since the character of Tara is pretty, you know, basically a sucker for love, and you described your past self as also a kind of lover of romantic Bollywood movies. Let's talk about Fred, who played a major character, major role in the book. And I have to ask, was he a real person or was he another reality that you immortalized in your book?
I would go by the second option.
Okay. Because Fred is just, I mean, he's dreamy, man. He's just so dreamy. I've noticed whenever a female writes a male character who is, you know, just not only, you know, the bad boy type, somehow female written male characters are much better than male written male characters, I feel. Okay, how do you guys manage to write us better than us?
I think it stems from the fact that if you look at the at least the people in my age group, if you look at the movies that we have seen growing up, so my character was inspired by Gerard Butler's character in PS I Love You.
Right, okay.
Yeah, such a and I am a Gerard Butler fan myself. I mean, I just love him a lot. So I think my love for him and the and my love for his character in the PS I Love You movie both bring this character brought this character to life, you know, such a loving, caring guy. And most of the of these romantic movies, whether it is Pretty Woman, PS I Love You, or some of the movies, if we have to look back, especially the Hollywood movies, there the male characters, you know, they are so loving, so giving that even, you know, this movie 27 Dresses, if you have seen.
No, I won't be familiar with 27
Okay, so
Dresses.
all these romantic, you know, chick flicks movies,
Yes.
they have this really nice loving men characters, and it's always good to create another one if you can't find one in real life.
Of course. That's great. That's perfect. How did Paris, you know, basically, there is a quote that says, we saw Paris made of stone, and our sons will see a Paris made of plaster. So I want to know, is Paris as beautiful as, you know, literature has described it for centuries? And if yes, how did Paris inspire you as an author?
So Paris remains pretty. There is something which is there, you know, in the air of Paris, I would say. But the thing is that in the current times, all the places that you go to are so crowded. So until and unless you spend a couple of months in a particular city, it's very difficult to get the essence of what is it, you know, being there, lived there for a very long time. So when I went to Paris, I think my first day there was very, very bad because My expectations were very high from that place. But after the first day got over and the next couple of days went very, very well there. And earlier, actually, I wanted to stay in Paris for a couple of months, but that could never work out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Paris is very pretty. And I don't know if you have reached that part where I have described the street vendors of Paris, guys from, you know, Asian countries, they go and sell souvenirs there. Yeah, so it's very funny. So, you know, this whole idea of romanticizing Eiffel Tower, if you get a chance to go to Paris, you'll realize that Eiffel Tower is the most unromantic part of Paris.
Wow.
Because the moment you step into the Eiffel Tower arena, you know, so there are a lot of local vendors, Asian vendors who would come to you and who would say that, you know, Didi, ye le jao, ye kar lo, aap to India se aaye ho. So first, you know, you pass that, and then there's a long queue to get ticket to Eiffel Tower. Then you stand in the queue again. That is very unromantic. And then Eiffel Tower is so crowded, it's very difficult to manage a selfie without having another people, you know, in your frame, because it is so crowded and it is so cold. So Eiffel Tower, I think I'm not too sure but the cafes in Paris and the other places, they are quite romantic, because I think the beauty lies in the fact that, first of all, our perception of Paris is what we gauged from the literature that we have read. So that angle is there, and it's clean, it's nice. Like I said previously, that, you know, travel is sort of a little, travel in place is a little over glorified.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't want to make this as a cast in stone comment, because I would really like to stay there for a couple of months to be able to come out.
Yeah.
To what is it with the city?
Like a local, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do agree. Like, you can't, to know the true essence of a city, you can't live in a hotel up in the citadel and stuff. You have to, you know, be with the people and stuff. That I agree with, definitely. And that concludes our time for the first part of this episode. Join in for part two, where we will discuss many other things that may come up. To listen to the second part with Neha Bindal, just tap the forward button or find part two on our account on major streaming platforms. Be sure to follow our Instagram at ThyBookBox and join our Discord community full of fellow bookworms and nerds from all over the world. Stay safe, happy reading, and thank you for listening to The Pen That Writes.